flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Their experience in sports varies.
Of course, Vinny's got experience in the NFL, and I sucked at electric football.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. 410-583-1057 is the number. Jimi Hendrix, chosen by you, the people. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. We start tabulating. Nolan McGraw's over there. There's no cheating here. There's no influence from other countries. Nolan just adds up the votes, and then coming up in about 3 hours, let you know who we're jamming to tomorrow. Starting around 10:15, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, and quick draw, McGraw. Ravens had their, end of season press conference a couple weeks earlier, I guess, than they had hoped, and he's on the Window Nation guest hotline from the Baltimore Sun. Let's welcome back to the show, Brian Wacker. Brian, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Well, I'm actually feeling a bit under the weather, but, you know, that seems to happen every year. Once the season ends, I think you just hit a wall. But otherwise, I feel great.
Yeah, I haven't been able to hear out of my right ear since Monday. And I can't see out of my left eye since, I don't know, 1984. But we're not here to talk about our maladies there, Brian Wacker. How would you grade the season? That's a question we've been asking our audience first hour. Short of the Super Bowl goal that they obviously set every year, you do win your division, you make it to the playoffs, 9 Pro Bowlers, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. You're grading the season how on a A to F scale?
I mean, I think you have to look at it as a B or B-plus season and remember that, you know, look, they were down to the final four teams in the AFC. Obviously a hugely disappointing loss in Buffalo, particularly the way they lost the game with all those turnovers, with the drop 2-point conversion, with those mistakes. And this is, it's like Groundhog Day, guys. I mean, we see this, seen this time and again from this team. And I think that's the frustrating part for a lot of people. Clearly Lamar Jackson, we saw that post game, as animated and as fired up as I've ever seen him in his career. So, clearly frustration, but also, you know, circling back to yesterday's end of season news conference, you know, I think there is a level of confidence that this team will largely be intact next season. And, you know, I think it's worth pointing out and remembering that even with those turnovers, even with those mistakes, they still had a chance to tie the game at the end of the game. So, you know, If they don't turn the ball over a couple of times the way they did, I think it's a different outcome, and we're not even talking about this right now. You know, the Ravens are getting ready for Kansas City. So, to me, I think there's a lot to actually be positive about in terms of where this team is. They clearly just need to kind of clean up some of these mistakes and clean up mistakes early in the season because, again, if they don't lose some of these games, maybe they're playing at home in that situation and not on the road.
You know what, Brian, to that point, I mean, Nolan said it earlier when we were talking, but what happened to them in the Buffalo game, it's kind of who they are, who they were during the year, because we saw it many times. And Brian, the thing that I was sitting here, I told Bob, I said, the thing I'm pissed off about was I didn't ask Harbs about all the penalties, you know, because you're number one in penalties. How do you clean that up? How do you fix it? Why did it happen so often?
Yeah. And that's, look, I think you summed it up perfectly. When they've had struggles, it's because of what exactly happened in Buffalo. And that's when things haven't gone well, it's because of those reasons. It's because of penalties, because of turnovers. Sure, you can put some of that on the opponent and then putting you in situations. But at the end of the day, this is a team that, as you mentioned, led the NFL in penalties. Now, they did clean a lot of that up throughout the course of the season. But again, we saw it rear its head at times in that Buffalo game, and we've seen it rear its head at other times. So, you know, those are self-inflicted mistakes that, you know, the teams like the Buffalo Bills don't make. There's a reason the Bills led the NFL in turnover margin. There's a reason Kansas City Chiefs are up there as well. So, because they don't make those sorts of mistakes. And, you know, when you get down to these final four teams in the AFC or the final four in the NFL, the margins are thin, and you can't afford to make those kinds of mistakes against those sorts of teams.
Now, Brian, I will agree with Eric. I think this team coming up next season, because like you said, they're not losing a lot of guys. Doesn't look like they're going to lose any coaches. I would think that this team may be the best that they've had in the last since Todd Monken got there.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Look, if you keep Todd Monken, you know, we saw the progression from year one to year two in this offense. Now you're talking about year two to year three with Derrick Henry, by the way, which is a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw in, you know, if you have a healthy Zay Flowers, a healthy Rashad Bateman, obviously Andrews, likely, you know, the pieces are there, guys, and there's not going to be huge changes, to your point. The coaching staff is not going to get plundered the way it did last season when they lost their defensive coordinator, defensive line coach, defensive backs coach, number of front office people, and some players on the roster. So, you know, sure, there's some decisions that are going to be made. There'll be some changes. You know, look, they've got two offensive linemen and Ronnie Stanley and Patrick McCary who are free agents, and they've got to figure out what they're going to do there. And, you know, Mark Andrews going into the last year, his deal, they've got to figure out what to do with Marlon Humphrey with no guaranteed money left on his deal going forward. So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts here. But to your point, I think this is a team that's largely intact going into next season. And if everybody's healthy, there's no reason they won't be right there again.
Hey, Brian, you know, I mean, you've been around Bisciotti. And how do you think Bisciotti feels after the season?
After this season?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, look, it's clearly disappointed, but I don't think he feels maybe the same level of disappointment he did in last year's AFC Championship game, the way they lost that game. Sure, the turnovers are killer. The dropped two-point conversion is a killer. It's a tough loss. Every year, the end of the season is a tough end of the season for him. He takes it hard. You know, that said, I think he's got to feel pretty good about where they're at because, again, this is a team that has as talented a roster as any in the league. And if they can simply find a way to clean up some of those mistakes, and we've seen progressions with Lamar in terms of this. Look, he threw four interceptions this year, second lowest of his career, 41 touchdowns. You know, we've seen the progression and maturity in his game. And if you can see that in the second year with a Derrick Henry, another year of Lamar in this offense, you know, some changes on defense perhaps. You know, to me, if they can kind of clean up some of those penalties, obviously clean up the turnovers, get some defensive guys who can not only make stops but make plays and turn the ball over, I think that's a huge difference. And again, there's no reason to think this team won't have a shot at being right there at the end of it again next season.
Brian Wacker, Baltimore Sun, talking NFL. Ravens season is over, but the season continues on for sure. Championship games, Philly and Washington, round three. Both teams win at home. And then Buffalo, KC, Bills kind of handle Kansas City back in November. How do you feel? Both teams are home favorites. Who's going to New Orleans? Who's getting the beads and not even have to pull their shirts up to get it? Brian Wacker, how's that happen?
You know, I think I'm going to go back to the beginning of the season for me And I believe I had the Eagles and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So I'm going to stick with that prediction. I think the Chiefs at home know how to win these games. Look, Buffalo has played terrific all year. As I mentioned, this is a team that doesn't make mistakes, doesn't shoot itself in the foot. Kansas City is the same thing. I think they're just a little bit better in these spots. I think they win a good game. And then I think Philadelphia, look, Jaden Daniels has been spectacular. That Washington offense has been terrific. It's been a fun season for them. I think this Philly team will kind of muddle things up and make it a little nasty.
Bill's Mafia says, not so fast, my friend. It's video at 8108.57 The Fan, Brian Wacker. Thank you, Brian, for your time. Whip around next. We'll go to the Baltimore Sun again with Matt Weyrich. Talk about the Orioles less than a month away from pitchers and catchers. They open the season in Toronto against the Blue Jays. I guess a touching reunion with Tony Taters.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Time for the whip around here on the Song Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your song request, plus for text line at 410-583-1057. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up at 2.5 hours. Before we get full on into the whip, today the Associated Press has narrowed their candidates, or name their top five candidates, finalists, if you will, for the Most Valuable Player Award. Now, Lamar got voted by the NFL Players Writers, which I don't know what the difference is, quite frankly, but it is, you know, I'm not a smart guy, Nolan McGraw. I went to community college. For the Associated Press, which is the real MVP, which Lamar's already won twice, Josh Allen. Alphabetical order, by the way. Josh Allen. Saquon Barkley, Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, Lamar Jackson. Offensive Player of the Year, there's only three of those. Barkley, Burrow, and Jackson. So there you go. And
Derrick Henry's up for Offensive Player of the Year.
Oh, so yeah. Oh my Chase. Bad. Sorry about that. I haven't scrolled down. Sorry, Nolan. Thank you for that's what producers do. You get in here and you help us out, Jamar Chase, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Lamar was named first team Associated Press All Pro.
Yeah.
By a pretty significant margin, if I'm not mistaken.
30-17, if I remember right, the vote.
How can you give Josh Allen most valuable player? It would make 0.0 Blutarski sense. Nolan, what do you think? You're the smartest guy on this show, for sure.
Well, unless that's their way of saying we're splitting the vote. Remember, like, Trey Wingo suggested, like, a co-MVP, like Peyton Manning had
with
that
McNair, 1 year
with McNair. I mean, that would have been more acceptable than potentially giving one first team and then naming the other MVP. I don't know. It just seems like a cop-out.
No, I'm not buying it. I'd be kind of running hot. Not losing sleep hot, making death threats hot. Yeah. But how do you get this guy first team all pro by your vote and then not give him MVP? Makes no sense.
Yeah, and your vote wasn't close.
And by the way, it could have worked either way. Oh, it's a Josh Allen's first team all pro, but we're giving Lamar MVP. Get the bleep out of here. Over here. How about rookie of the year offense real quick? Brock Bowers, Jaden Daniels, among others. It's got to be Jaden Daniels.
And Malik Nabers.
And, and Bo Nix.
Yeah,
Brian Thomas had a monster year.
There's some good choices there, Bob. But Daniels has got to win it.
Anywho, just giving you a heads up on that one. All right, let's get to the full-on whip. Terps tonight, men's basketball at Illinois. Talk to the Wiz, Walt Williams, in about an hour here. Maryland 6-21 on the road with Kevin Willard as the head coach. 0-4. This year, Terps coming off that hold-on win against Nebraska, 14-5, 4-4. Illinois, 13-5, 5-3. Arguably the most talented team in the Big Ten. They're 9-point favorites, and let me try to get this done. Kasparis Jakusionis. Jakusionis from Lithuania. Projected to be a top-5 pick in the upcoming draft. They had 3 potential first-round picks on this team. He's stat filler, 16 points, 5 boards, 5 assists. He's 6'6". He brings all the skill set. So we'll talk to Walt about that. But Maryland, if they can get, they need a quad one win.
Yeah.
And this road win, this would check every box there. Because as we said, Jerry Palmer, we had on a couple of days ago, CBSSports.com, has him out. Joe Lenardi, ESPN, has them in, but as an 8 or a 9 seed. Right?
If they win tonight, Bob, what are we talking about tomorrow? How did they win?
That Illinois shooting woes haunted them, and they don't shoot all that great. They score a ton. They kill it on the offensive glass. They're the best rebounding team in the conference. So when they fire up bricks, they get the board and put it back in. That'll be it. Or an unknown, or Derek Queen rises to
like
the occasion. 25. Yeah, and he matches stars because Queen himself was rated by ESPN as the 14th best draftable prospect just a couple of days ago. But we'll get into that in about an hour, as we said. Well, Walt, Big Ten last night, Northwestern came from behind at home to beat Indiana. You think Maryland, like, I get running hot, Nolan gets running hot, and boy, Nolan, you don't even know some of the running hot games I've watched them lose. That Indiana fan. I mean, they're blue blood program. Maryland's like light blue. Lately, not so much. But Indiana, they got national championships and college All-Americans out of the yin-yang. And Mike Woodson's one of the best players. But, boy, he's taking some heat. Northwestern beats Indiana, where Maryland goes Sunday at noon.
That's what I'm saying. Kick them while they're down. Terps get a big win tonight. Now you're rolling.
Oh. Well, if you win tonight, lose to Indiana, then we're running out. Hey, but either way, I got what you're saying. But Northwestern beat Maryland last week at home, beat Indiana. So Chris Collins could coach. He's a Dookie. You might not like him, but he can coach, man. His old man, Doug, was a great player and an analyst. But anyway, USC beat Nebraska, 78-73. The mayor having a hard time getting over the hump there. There was a top 16 battle last night. Ole Miss losing by 1 to Texas A&M and a frenetic finish. In that game locally, Navy beats Boston U 62-47. And Lafayette beat Loyola 80-59. In the NBA last night, Phoenix beat Brooklyn 108-84. Devin Booker had 32. Damian Lee, Calvert Hall, 3 points, a board and an assist for the Suns there. Houston beats Cleveland in a battle of two best teams in the NBA, 109-108, an exciting game at that. Fred VanVleet had 26 for the Rockets. Cam Whitmore, Baltimore Zone, 16-2-1 there. It was Memphis over Charlotte, 132-120. Desmond Bane at 24 for the Grizz. Santi Aldama, Loyola Greyhound at 2-5-1, then left because he got sick. Left the game with an illness, and he's just coming back from an ankle injury. And it was Oklahoma City, the Thunder, taking on the Utah Jazz. And Nolan's favorite player did some MVP stuff last night.
90 seconds to go.
It's a big-time bucket by Kessel. He's got 17 points and 15 rebounds.
Shea looking for 50, and he delivers.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, that's Valley Sports on the call. 54 points, 8 boards, 5 assists, 3 steals. Talk about stat filling. That guy's right now, I would think, the MVP front runner, and rightfully so. 123-114, Thunder there. Aaron Wiggins, University of Maryland, coached by former Maryland legend Keith Gatlin in high school. He had 10 points, 4 boards, and an assist. Got the start. And it was Sacramento. Been on fire. AB Golden State, who's been the opposite of that. 123-117. DeMar DeRozan dropped in 32. Let's see here. Sabonis at 26-18-3. Another stud. Kevin Herter, Alex Len, two former Terps. They combined for 12 minutes.
Damn.
And 0 points. Herter's falling out of the rotation.
Yes, he is. He got a lot of money, though.
Yeah, Ellis kind of took it. When Doug Christie took over, old Red Velvet. Been pine timing it a little bit there. It's whip around video at Haney 105.7 The Fan NHL tonight. Capitals at Seattle taking on the Kraken. Caps right now 32-10-5. Seattle 21-24-3. 10 o'clock puck drop. Capitals, everybody. Best record in hockey.
It's unbelievable, Bob. Yeah. They sit with 69 points. They're 7-0-3 in their last 10. They've won 5 in a row. Although the Kraken have won 2 in a row. So that could be interesting. But, I mean, I guess they lucked out last against Edmonton the other night because McDavid was suspended, so he didn't play, and they won 3-2. So Caps, they're on a 5-game road trip. So it's going to be a tough road trip for them. But they're playing good.
They're winning a lot of games where they get outshot, too.
Well, like that's because their goalie's been – Logan Thompson, Bob, has been spectacular. He's been, he's best goalie in the league right now.
And real quick, today's January 23rd. Just two things for you. Maryland basketball men, 1980, Colt Fieldhouse, 15th ranked Maryland, beat NC State, 66-62. Albert King, Greg Manning, both had 16. Buck Williams, 11.6 boards. Greg Manning, by the way, his son, Greg Jr., is a coach for Kevin Willard, played for Jimmy Patsos at Loyola. And then 2002, Nolan, how are you, 6? I would hope you. Kind of, sort of. This is, whatever. Hey. At Wake, third-ranked Maryland. Beat 21st-ranked Wake Forest Demon Deacons. I missed the ACC, 85-63. Juan Dixon, Steve Blake had 19 each. Lonnie Baxter at 12. Drew Nicholas had 10 as the eventual national champions went on the road against a tough Wake Forest team. It's Vinny and 81057. The Fan will come back, talk about the Orioles. We're weeks away. Less than a month for pitchers and catchers, Sarasota. Matt Wyrick, Baltimore Sun. Is the roster set? Why are you tweaking? How are you tweaking? And would you have given Tanner Scott $72 million?
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere f***ing else.
Ah, we got here Audio Slave. Yeah. Gonna be a bad featured artist Friday. Not that I'm trying to influence the people, Nolan. I saw the cringe on his face. Up to Nolan, we've listened to Jay or Yay or whatever the hell his name is the entire time. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it, get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. Got a fun house trip with Nolan coming up in a few minutes. Wizard Walt Williams previews Maryland, Illinois. That's coming up around 12:30. But let's talk about them Orioles. Less than a month away for pitchers and catchers. Vegas still has them as one of the projected top teams in the American League. And if you look at the roster, rightfully so. Here to talk about that on the Window Nation guest hotline from the Baltimore Sun, Matt Weirich. Matt, how you feeling?
Not bad, guys. How are you?
Doing all right. Now, Tony Taters, he's now at Rogers Center, and the Orioles will play them, of course, on opening day there for the 2025 season. But was there any hope at all? Because there were reports, as you know, in the last week or so that he'd be willing to take a lesser deal, or was this a foregone conclusion when they lost to Kansas City and you were in that clubhouse after the game that it looked like he was saying his goodbyes and taking pictures and all that good stuff? Was there any chance whatsoever, maybe even a Lloyd Christmas chance from Dumb and Dumber, that he was coming back to Baltimore?
Yeah, you know, I think that I wouldn't have ruled it out at the start of the offseason, and it certainly with the rumors that he might be willing to take a shorter-term deal, that felt like it would fit better into their plans. But, you know, at the end of the season, like you said, in the final days there, after they were eliminated in the clubhouse, he was very emotional, wasn't making any promises about being back, understood the business of it. I think the biggest indicator was that, you know, the Orioles didn't make any effort to sign him during the season or before the season. You know, talking to him multiple times throughout that they never reached out to try and work out an extension. So, he was going to test free agency, and if he fell back into their laps, he did. But it certainly didn't seem like the kind of deal that Toronto was willing to give him, you know, albeit only after falling short on several other big-name free agents. It didn't seem like the type of deal that the Orioles were willing to go to for Santander.
Now, life's not fair. And Anthony Santander can cries tears in his $92+ million. I don't know how that translates into Canadian money, Matt, but it is what it is. He'll be okay. Now we get back to the business of the Orioles, getting back to the playoffs for the first time in 3 years, something they haven't done since Earl Weaver, Frank Robinson, and Brooks back 69-71. The outfield, he's gone. Tyler O'Neill is in. We know Mullins. We know Moo Man. Kerstad, I guess, is going to get a big opportunity to succeed. Any chance, and this is sports talk fodder and what fans would ask, that Austin Hayes comes back on somewhat of a friendly deal? Or is that ship sailed? And if he ain't, or anyone, who's the right-handed platoon outfielder guy? Are we going Jorge Mateo here?
Yeah, I think Jorge Mateo's health is going to be a big factor here. You know, it was expected that he'd be ready for the start of spring training, but we're not really sure where he's at this point. So as we get closer to spring training and maybe the Orioles get a look at that and decide he's not ready, maybe they make a move for somebody like Hayes. I don't think it can be ruled out at this point, but certainly it feels like their position player depth chart is pretty set. I mean, the rise of things are right now, you know, a guy like Emmanuel Rivera isn't even on the roster, right? So it would take an injury to get there. So they've already looked pretty deep on that side. They obviously have some prospect depth as well, and with guys like Kobe Mayo and his potential play in the outfield is something that Mike Elias said that they're not looking at necessarily right now, but has been discussed in the past. I think first base is the more likely position, but you know, they brought back Ryan O'Hearn. There's no Ryan Mountcastle trade, so maybe that calculus has changed a little bit and they start to look at him in the outfield. I don't know. He certainly would fit the bill as a right-handed hitter, but not somebody who is a plus-plus fielder, which you might need, potentially in left, you know, maybe not as big as it used to be, but still a bigger side of the outfield and in center. So right field seems pretty stocked with the Tyler O'Neill and Heston Kerstad. Kowser, obviously, Mullins, obviously, are guys that are going to be factoring in there, but I think you're right that another right-handed bat is probably needed in some way, and if Mateo isn't it, maybe that opens him up to explore a guy in free agency who's looking for, you know, a buy-low deal.
Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7, the Fan talking Orioles. Less than a month away from pitchers and catchers. All right, let's get to the infield. And, you know, defensively overall, there's potential, Matt, as you know, for them to be really, really good. And I know Gunner was loose with the errors. I still see a gold glove, maybe multiple, in his future there, given the athleticism and the cannon arm, et cetera, et cetera. But with Jackson Holliday, I'm guessing he's going to hit. Because last year was an aberration. He probably was wearing out wiffle balls when he was 3 years old and has never been lacking offense until last year. So I'm going to just say optimistically, he'll get adjusted to pitching. Will he ever get adjusted defensively to playing second base?
I think so. You know, I think actually he graded out decently well in his return. You know, his numbers all got dragged down both offensively and defensively by his first stint, just how bad it went. But that second stint there, yeah, I think he actually fared a little bit better. He made some pretty dazzling plays at times. I mean, look, he was a shortstop. His arm really just wasn't as strong, maybe just given his age and where he's at in his body's development, to handle shortstop. So I think second base, at least right now, is a better fit for him anyway. But he has the athleticism of a shortstop, which is great news. So, you know, I think that him and Gunnar Henderson forming that up the middle pairing would be one of the best in baseball. And honestly, I look around the rest of MLB's landscape, and I'm not sure there is a better infield, catcher included, than what the Orioles have right now, with how young it is, with how much offensive potential it has, even with the platooning of Ryan O'Hearn and Ryan Mountcastle. I mean, they just have an answer for everything. And I also think that Jordan Westberg is due for a massive breakout season. So I would be very pleased if I'm an Orioles fan looking at the depth chart, circling that infield, and feeling good about just about every spot.
Matt, speaking of catcher, Adley Rutschman, have you had a chance to talk to him? Do you know what he's been doing in the offseason? And what are your expectations, you know, from him after the tough second half?
I haven't chatted with him, but I know he's down in Sarasota now, so he's there early, ready for spring training. And, you know, I think that, look, he said he wasn't dealing with anything in the second half. There wasn't anything to necessarily, like, concrete say he was dealing with an injury, but you know, I don't know how else you can explain the drop-off in numbers. You know, I've dove into it a lot of what happened in the second half, and there really wasn't any kind of clear indicator as to what could have been pulling it down. And given everything that he had done up to that point in his career, I don't think there's any reason to doubt he's capable of bouncing back in a big way. I mean, still was an all-star last season, still was, you know, one of the top five catchers by WAR. So certainly somebody who has had some room to grow over the last few years on the defensive side. And I think we just kind of saw that on the offensive side now a little bit. So, you know, I would not be shocked at all if he puts it all together this season.
Matt Weyrich, Baltimore Sun, talking Orioles. Matt, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the next couple of weeks and get yourself a tan down in Sarasota and beyond. And we'll be talking to you a lot, obviously, during spring training here. Eric DaCosta, Matt with the media, the Wizard Walt Williams previews Maryland, Illinois at 12:30, a game you can hear tonight on The Fan. 9 o'clock tip-off, NFL lunch, 1 o'clock, start breaking down this AFC-NFC championship game stuff. Buffalo against Kansas City, Washington-Philadelphia, rematches. Buffalo won at home against KC back in November. Washington and Philly split during the regular season. Second game, Jalen Hurts got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But Barkley had 150 yards. Brown had a big game. Devontae Smith, they all had big games. Redskins, Washington turned the ball over five times.
Yeah.
And still won the game.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels threw five touchdown passes.
Yeah, that Philly, Bob, the Philly defense is good. Although N'Kobe Dean is out, but that defensive front is stout. They're going to have a hard time running the football against Philly's defense. You know what? And then on the other side, you know, it kind of plays into KC's hands a little bit that, I mean, KC's been struggling all year with the left tackle. They like their center and the two guards.
But how Zeus Jr.? He's hurt, right?
Cincinnati.
Oh, that's right. He got hurt there is what happened to him.
So their tackles have been causing them some problems. But, you know, Buffalo doesn't have the elite pass rush dude.
But I was reading a stat in the Baltimore Sun, since we've had two writers on this hour. Ravens finished second in sacks, but they were 29th in win rate in sacks, and the Bills were sixth. So that's the old Matthew Judon was Dean Pease, I guess. Well, he's there in closing the deal. So, I mean, I don't know how much creed you take in that, but you know, the Bills might not close the deal because they were at the bottom of the pack near it in sacks, but they get you off your spot a little bit.
I would say this about the win rate, Bob. Owe didn't win a lot. You know, when he won, he would maybe win one or two times a game. You know, he would win outside. Van Ooy, he probably won more than anybody on the outside. Ajabo never won one-on-one, never. And Robinson, no, that's not his cup of tea anyhow. So he's not going to win. So their pass rush dudes, no. they're not going to be a lot in the win rate. Now, Travis Jones and Madubuike, they would probably be more so.
Nolan, what do you think about all this stuff? Say hi officially to the people. We've been talking to you through the first 2 hours, as always, but say, hey, what's up, man?
Right. Well, you know, talking about the Eagles there, I had to bring this up because I just saw this on social media, and this is taking sports memorabilia.
Oh, the snow?
Yeah. The Eagles announcing that they are selling commemorative snow from their win on Sunday against the Rams. You heard that correctly. Limited to 100 units, so it's rare. It's authenticated. And it comes in, it looks like an ice cream pint. It's like a little Ben and Jerry's thing, but it's filled with snow. It's got a fancy label on it. Has the date, the score of the game, and everything. $50 if you want snow from the field.
No.
I heard that this morning.
No. The grass you can rip out of the field. I get that. That's happened at every stadium that's closed or whatever. First of all, snow melts. I guess you get in one of them vacuum-packed things they can send food in.
If you place your order, it'll be shipped using dry ice. Fans are encouraged to keep the container frozen.
Who gets the money?
Oh, hopefully charity. My God. This is ridiculous.
But wait a minute. Like, when you want memorabilia, it's something you can put in the man cave. Like, yeah. I have Colts, Ravens, Orioles, Terp stuff all over my basement. So, hey, well, you want me to go to the freezer? It's like pulling out like Ted Williams' head. Hey, we
can't Walt keep Disney. It up. There he is. I got to put it back in.
Just looking for a cure.
You know what's funny about that?
If you're an imbecile if you buy that, by the way.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. You know what's funny is like yesterday Becky comes home and she says, you know, a patient of mine gave me the coolest gift, you know? And so she says, you got to look at it. And it was a brick. From the Notre Dame Stadium when they tore it down with the date and everything on her, and like you just said, Bob, we'll put it down in the basement.
That's a tangible thing.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say a finger from one of the people that got amputated at the Kansas City Miami game. There's a toe from this dude.
Right,
so all about team.
Again, $50 here.
It's
not including shipping, and that's specialty with the dry ice and everything. Depending on how far they're shipping it, overnight express.
Wait a minute, you're paying additional shipping. There's so many things for me. You know, I'm not buying it, so it doesn't affect me personally. It's not even the championship game. We're a Super Bowl. It's a division game against the Rams.
The snow is the memorable part.
Hey, Norm, I could go out and get a bucket of snow myself and put the name in a date.
That's not authenticated.
It doesn't cost me $50. I can buy my bottle of wine for $50.
Frosty the Snowman says, yep, that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully it's not miscolored snow.
Yellow snow, Frank Zappa. You want to go to the funhouse real quick?
We're out of time, unfortunately.
Come back, news from the Nets. We hear from John Harbaugh and, of course, Eric DaCosta. Buy or sell has got that late-week money, hopefully, and talk about sports subjects, which are plentiful. The Wizard, Walt Williams, talk Maryland hoops with him at Champaign, Illinois tonight, taking on the 17th-ranked Fighting Illini, looking for that elusive road win. Will Maryland be in a theoretical way popping champagne with the upset?